Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Have you ever noticed that some of the most intense battles in your life happen where no one else can see them? There are no visible enemies, no public conflict, and no obvious signs of struggle. Yet beneath the surface, there is a steady pressure working on your thoughts, your desires, and your decisions. In those moments, the issue is not whether a battle exists. The issue is whether you will stand or surrender. Scripture speaks directly about that reality with a clear and powerful command: resist the enemy. Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, and in this series, Stand Firm, Equipped for Spiritual Battle, we're learning how to live with spiritual strength in the midst of a very real war. Today's episode is entitled Resisting the Enemy, and it centers on James chapter 4, verse 7, which says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is one of the most direct and practical statements in the New Testament about spiritual warfare. It's not complicated or abstract. It's clear, strong, and filled with hope. Now, to understand the verse rightly, we need to see it in its context, because we know that context is key and king. The book of James is practical, written to believers who are scattered and facing various pressures. James consistently brings the focus to the heart. In chapter 4, he addresses the issue of conflict and asks a piercing question about its source. He explains that quarrels and fights come from desires that are at war within us. That language, intentional. Before conflict ever shows up outwardly, there is already a battle taking place inwardly. James goes on to describe how these internal desires lead to pride, misplaced priorities, and divided loyalty. He uses strong language to describe this condition, comparing it to spiritual unfaithfulness. The core issue is a heart that is trying to live for God while also holding on to values and desires of the world. Let's say that again. The core issue is a heart that's trying to live for God while also holding on to values and desires of the world. That's where we see the tension internally that will eventually show itself externally. It is into that setting that James gives the command in verse 7. This verse marks a turning point, showing not just the problem, but better, the path towards victory. Now, the structure of the command helps us. James says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So, submission comes first, and resistance follows. That order is essential because it defines how spiritual victory actually works. To submit to God means to place yourself under His authority. It means you agree with Him about truth, about sin, and about righteousness. It involves trusting His Word above your own instincts and yielding your will to His direction. Submission is not passive. It is not a sign of weakness. It is an intentional alignment of your life under the rule of a good and sovereign God. And from the place of submission, the command to resist the devil becomes more clear. To resist means to stand firmly against. It's not a casual response. It is a settled refusal to give in. There is no negotiation, no compromise, and no acceptance of what is opposed to God's will. James does not instruct believers to analyze the enemy or to live in fear of him. He calls them to take a stand by resisting him. Now, this also helps clarify an important distinction. Believers are never called to submit to the devil in any sense. And you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking, well, of course, Scott, there's no call to submit to the devil, but there are tendencies that we have in just our being that really lend themselves to submitting to the devil, such as wanting to live in comfortable proximity to the values of the world. That is, in a way, allowing the priority of the world or darkness or even the devil to have some precedent or standing in your life. But we are never called to submit to the devil in any sense, to any degree. Instead, Scripture presents a sharp contrast. We submit to God and we resist the devil. When that order is reversed or ignored, spiritual struggle becomes more intense. If someone attempts to resist temptation without first being in submission to God, they are relying on their own strength, and that strength will not hold over time. It will fizzle out. However, a believer is genuinely submitted to God, shaped by His Word, and walking in obedience. Resistance becomes effective. This is why James approaches a promise to the command. He says that when you resist the devil, he will flee. That statement's not based on human ability, but on divine authority. Remember, submitting to God is submitting to His authority. And so the devil's fleeing is not an action or a reaction of the devil to your strength. It is a reaction by the devil to God's authority. The enemy does not ultimately retreat because of our strength, but because of God's authority at work through a life that is aligned with Him. Now, this truth has direct implications for everyday Christian living. The first step is recognizing that the battle's real. We talked about in the past weeks. And that often takes place at the level of thoughts, desires, and decisions. Many struggles that seem emotional or circumstantial have a deeper spiritual dimension. James calls us to take that seriously. Submission to God must then become a daily pattern. This happens as we consistently engage with Scripture, spend time in prayer, and choose obedience in specific areas of life. As God's Word shapes our thinking, it becomes easier to recognize what is true and what is false, what honors God and what does not. Resistance also requires awareness. Let's talk about this. Temptation presents itself through subtle and persuasive thoughts. It may sound like justification, entitlement, or secrecy, and it usually involves something that is appealing to us. These ideas must be confronted with truth. The example of Jesus in the wilderness shows us that Scripture is essential in this process. Truth exposes lies and gives clarity in moments of testing. The devil would love nothing more. The enemy loves nothing more than to have us thinking through half-truths or thinking through appealing thoughts. But whenever God's Word, which is clear and true, comes into play, it rightly divides what is true from that which is not. At the same time, resistance is often expressed through practical decisions. It may involve stepping away from situations that create unnecessary temptation, establishing new habits, or inviting accountability into your life. Spiritual strength does not ignore practical wisdom, it applies it. And for so many of us, submitting to God can look like simply avoiding situations or environments where we are typically tempted. It can involve establishing new habits and patterns of living that guide us towards a way of right living and away from opportunities for wrong living. And I believe that it also, to a great degree, involves surrounding ourselves with accountability, or to put it more palatably, surrounding ourselves with people that encourage us in the right way. One of my great friends, Ken Freeman, an evangelist, actually the evangelist that preached on the night that God called me to salvation, he says, "If you will show me your friends, I will show you your future." And that's true. We need to develop as a part of our resistance to the devil, we need to develop circles of influence around us that are the right kind of influence. Now, I don't want us to be the type of people, nor am I suggesting that you be the type of person that cuts off anyone that you don't see as having an immediate value to your life. That's not necessarily a good thing. However, the voices that are most prominent in your life should be the voices that point you towards the Lord, that encourage you in submission to God and encourage you to resist the enemy. As such, we need to be mindful of who is helping us live out our accountability. Humility is also essential. Just before this command, in James 4:7, James reminds us that God gives grace to the humble. A humble heart acknowledges dependence on God and remains teachable. Pride, on the other hand, creates vulnerability by leading us to trust ourselves instead of God. A humble person will recognize, I don't have all the answers. I can't do this on my own. A prideful person will think, I can do this on my own, or I should do this on my own, or I'm entitled to do this the way that I want to. But a humble person is already positioning themselves to submit to God. And they're already positioning themselves in such a way that by God's authority, the devil will be resisted and will ultimately flee from us. Now, all of this brings us back to the promise. When a believer is submitted to God and actively resisting the devil, the enemy does not prevail in that moment. He retreats. He retreats. That doesn't mean that temptation will never return, but it does mean that it does not have to control or define your life. And for many of us, what we need when we're in those hidden, subtle valleys, or when we're in the midst of the turmoil, is we just need a breath, a moment of relief. And if we'll submit to the Lord, if we'll resist the devil, he will flee from us. There's real hope in this passage. God has not left his people without direction in the midst of a spiritual battle. He has given both clear command and a faithful promise. And as you live this out, you're not standing alone or relying on your own strength. You're standing under the authority of God himself. And that, my friends, will take a great load of pressure off of your shoulders. I want to thank you for joining me for this episode of the Shaped by Scripture podcast. As we continue in this series, Stand Firm, Equipped for Spiritual Battle, I pray that you are growing in clarity, confidence, and courage as you walk in obedience to God's Word. Next week, we will close this series with the final installment, Victory in Christ, and it will be a good word for battle-wearied soldiers. So I pray that you'll tune in next week for the close of this series and another episode on the Shaped by Scripture podcast.